Do you minister to the teens of your parish? Well, who's ministering to you? If you're a hardworking youth minister, core member, music minister, or priest, the Life Teen Training Convention is the place to be. Leaders of all types will be gathered in beautiful, carefree Arizona to be trained, affirmed, and inspired. To find out more, click on events on ym.lifeteen.com. You're listening to the Sunday podcast brought to you by lifeteen.com, a reflection on the upcoming Sunday Catholic Mass readings. And now your host, the Bible geek, Mark Hart.
Oh, my family, I love you. And I mean it when I say it. I love you. We're taking a look this week at the sixth Sunday of Easter, our first reading. You might want to write this one down. And if you ever, I want to remind you, if you ever are looking for the specific chapter and verse, the specific readings, that is contained in the information on the podcast. So be sure to take a look at your computer screen or at your iPod, whatever you're listening to this on. The readings are listed there. But you might want to write this one down. Our first reading, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10, verses 25 and 26, verses 34 and 35, and verses 44 to 48. Our psalm response from Psalm 98, verses 1 through 4. Our second reading from 1 John, chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. And our gospel, again, picks up in John, chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. Now, I said I love you, and I mean that. And I don't mean that in the worldly way. I think as a culture and a society, we play pretty fast and loose with the word love. We use it for everything from puppies to pizza. And we use it in all kinds of songs, all kinds of media, all kinds of other ways of communicating. But the reality of what Christ shows us, what Christ showed us during Lent, what Christ shows us through the Easter season, and what he reminds us of in today's gospel might be the most important thing you and I ever learn, because everybody on the planet is looking for love, or they're in love, or they were in love, or they were in love before, and then they had their heart broken, and they want to be in love again, which makes them a country western singer. The gospel this week says something very, very important, as it does every week. This is my commandment, love one another as I love you. That should cause us to pause and exhale a little bit. When Christ says, love one another as I love you, that means that the cross, as Pope Benedict XVI told us in the encyclical, Deus Caritas Est, the cross is the most radical form of love the world has ever known. What that means is that the cross is now what we measure our love against and what we measure our love by. And the next line that Jesus says explains that. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Later on, he reminds us again, this I command you, love one another. What that means is, this I command you, die to yourself for one another. This I command you, put yourself second for one another. This I command you, serve one another. You can insert all kinds of words there for love. But what it should tell us and should remind us is this. We can't play fast and loose with the word love. When you say love, you have to be willing to remove the word love and put die to yourself, because that's what it means. You have to be willing to die. You have to be willing to suffer. If you're not willing to die for that person, if you're not willing to suffer for that person, don't say I love you. It's easy to say it. It's hard to live it. And why is this important to remember? Because as the Acts of the Apostles is going to remind us, God does not show partiality. Okay? God does not show partiality. In this first reading, you might get a little bit confused by it if you read just the verses. You might want to read the whole reading to understand the context. But this is a time when Peter's having a very, very significant experience of God. And what God is revealing to Peter is that he loves the Gentiles just as much as the Jews. And he's charging Peter, our first pope, with making sure that everybody else understands. This is not a private club for the Jews, that Jesus is not just the king of the Jews. He's the king of all, that God is the king of all, Jews and Gentiles alike. So when Peter has this experience, he's reminded, God shows no partiality. Do you know what that means to us? It's not just that, oh, God loves, you know, Christians more than non-Christians, or God loves Catholics more than Protestants, or nothing like that at all. That God loves the drug dealer on the corner, God loves the prostitute on the corner as much as God loves the Pope, and as much as God loves Mother Teresa and all those other saintly holy people. That God's love is not dependent upon what we do and don't do. God's not fickle. We are. That God loves us all equally. God loves us all equal. He shows no partiality. So any of us that feel as though we are more deserving of God's love, or that someone is not deserving of God's love, their vision of God isn't big enough. And what we have to be willing to do is die to ourself, die to our own our own issues when it comes to other people, die to our own small-mindedness when it comes to other people. This is where racism comes in. This is where sexism comes in, and all those other things that allow people to sometimes elevate themselves, to feel like they're superior or more important because of their gender or because of their race or because of their economic class. God shows no partiality. He loves us all perfectly, and he loves us all equally. In the second reading, if you haven't read 1 John, if you haven't been reading these last few weeks, please take time to go read 1 John. It's so beautiful. Beloved, let us love one another because love is of God. Everyone who loves is begotten by God and knows God. In other words, those who don't love, and again, if you want to fill in the blank for love, those who are not willing to die to themselves do not really know God. They might know things about him. They might know words about him, but they don't know him because love is more than words. Love is shown through actions. Love doesn't play favorites. Love is not going to surrender to fear. Love is not about self, and love's not self-serving, and love's not self-seeking, which St. Paul reminds us of in his epistle. My brothers and my sisters, love equals death. The question I want to put to you this week is, with that as the definition, how many people do you really love? And how many people really love you? I don't mean how many people like you. I don't even mean how many people lust you. I mean, how many people really love you? How many people are willing to die for you? How many people are willing to do anything so that you don't die, but that you live in Christ forever? Let's not use that word unless we mean it. And this week, just maybe, God wants to use his living word of love, to wake us all up and remind us that if someone's not working for our salvation, if someone doesn't really care about our soul and where we end up, they absolutely don't love us. Those who love us will speak truth. Those who love us will sacrifice and die to themselves to help make sure that we don't die. That's what God did on the cross. That's how you know what love is. It works for your salvation. May God bless you this week.
This podcast is brought to you by your friends at lifeteen.com.